President Trump promised that a new task force dedicated to reopening the economy would begin work this week. The president has also talked about May 1st as a target date, something many health officials say may be too soon. Well, Derek Thompson has been looking at some of the technologies that may allow us to safely reopen the country and prevent a second outbreak. Derek is senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us from Washington, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
So you write that our best hope to contain this virus once things start reopening is what's known as test and trace. Remind us what that is, and is the U.S. doing it now?
So test and trace is an old idea in public health. Let's break it down into two. Test, most people know what that means. When it comes to COVID, it means that long nasal swab that goes up your nose, and then it's tested with a kit and determines whether or not you have the disease. Trace, it can be a little bit more complicated. Historically, trace has simply meant an old technology, which is interviews. When the CDC was helping to crack down on Ebola in Africa, they would essentially isolate someone who had recently tested positive for Ebola. They'd say, tell me all the people you've come into contact with over the last few days. And then they would go to those friends and family members and businesses and say, hey, we need to talk to you about whether or not you might have the symptoms of Ebola. There's another way, though, that you can do this, which is through cell phone technology. Two technologies that could prove useful here. One is GPS technology, which obviously just says where we are in the world. And then there's Bluetooth, which is used right now in Singapore, where essentially if lots of people download a Bluetooth app, they're going around the world, they're pinging each other as they're passing by or having lunch with each other, you know, going to Starbucks. And then if someone gets sick, they can essentially upload all of their local contacts to some central authority that can essentially review them the same way they would review an interviewed list of contacts and say, all right, these are the new people that we have to reach out to.
But just culturally, I can imagine that working in Singapore. I can imagine that working in China, certainly. But in the United States, you would think there would be some pretty big privacy concerns.
Yes, huge privacy concerns, I think, especially with these cell phone tracing technologies. Now, in South Korea, the tracing technology sort of combines cell phone location data, credit card records. It really broadly monitors citizens' activity so that when an individual tests positive, the local government will essentially send out an alert, kind of like a flood warning, that includes the individual's last name, their sex, age, district of residence, credit card history, maybe even a minute-to-minute record of their comings and goings from various local businesses. I mean, it's incredibly invasive. And one of the worries from privacy experts in the West and certainly in the U.S. is if this is what tracing looks like, you know, if I test positive and everyone in Washington, D.C. gets a text that basically gives away my entire life, well, might that make me less likely to want to get tested?
Now, you spoke with a computer scientist at MIT who is working on an app to map the movements of people who have COVID-19. What did he tell you?
Yeah, Ramesh Raskar is a computer scientist at the MIT Media Lab, and he's working on an app. It relies more on GPS technology than on Bluetooth technology. And the idea is that if someone tested positive, other people on the app could open the app and look at hotspots where people who had tested positive had been recently. And I think a lot of privacy advocates would be horrified. But again, I think the argument from people who are advocates of the technology is we have to weigh privacy against public health. Right now, Americans are under house arrest. That's not a lot of freedom. So if we can constrict people's freedom on this app, maybe we can give them more freedom in exchange because they would be allowed to leave their apartments, houses, and condos.
NPR reported today that there has been little to no progress by the Trump administration on a number of things that could help speed up testing for this virus, including a Google website that was promised and was supposed to help with screening and testing that was never developed. Companies like CVS, Walmart, and Walgreens have not opened up widespread drive-through testing sites as the administration promised. Can any of the things you're talking about happen if the administration doesn't take real steps toward the testing that will be necessary to start this test and trace process?
Two extremely important points. First, none of this is possible without a dramatic ramp up in testing, because without testing, you have no idea who to start tracing. The second important thing, though, is that even if the federal government itself doesn't come up with a national contact tracing scheme, you already have a lot of states around the country who either have small tracing apparatuses set up or who are now hiring hundreds, even thousands of people to start calling people who test positive for COVID to trace their contacts. You also have this big news about Google and Apple coming up with possible tracing features in a new OS update. There's a lot of people working on this problem, not just the federal government, but I also think that that isn't an excuse for the federal government to do nothing. We need a lot more guidance and a lot more clarity from the feds, I think, about when testing is going to ramp up and then how tracing can interact with testing in order to make us truly safe and to allow us to leave our apartments and houses.
That is Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.